good morning, y'all. I'm Martha Norwalk, and welcome you to the third hour of this week's edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got internet access. And the best way to pick up the streams, go to the Animal World website. That would be MarthaNorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live link in the upper right-hand corner. That will click you through to the 1150 KKNW website. Click on Listen, the upper left, and then listen online. You will be all set to stream the show. What a great show to stream today. My guest is Walter Stoffel. He's written a wonderful book called Lance, A Spirit Unbroken, and what a story it is. And I just want to let you know, if you want to share this show with anyone you know after the fact, you can listen to the archive version of the show. Usually Rhonda gets it up, you know, sometime Sunday afternoon, and you just go to the Animal World website, MarthaNorwalk.com, and at the bottom, I think there's a link that says audio archives, and you just click on that, and once the show is posted, you'll be able to listen to it there. All righty, so welcoming back again, Walter Stoffel. Welcome back to Animal World.
Thank you.
And I think we found a kindred spirit, because I think, Walter, you've got to enjoy music because you're having fun with us on the love train this week.
Definitely.
Yep. So I did. You asked me if I was a 60s child. And yeah, I was. I grew up in the 60s. But my favorite music is doo-wop rock and roll, you know, 50s, 60s. So are you a music fan as well?
Oh, yeah, I am. I guess the 50s and 60s would be my favorite. Then I jumped to the 80s for some reason.
Oh, okay.
There's something about the 80s that I like. And then there's a guy named Mozart I kind of like too.
Oh, okay. So you cover the whole gamut. I'm stuck in the doo-wop rock and roll.
Okay.
All righty. So we are going to get back to, we've talked about Lance, this border collie, and Walter and his wife, Clara, moved to Mount Bethel, Pennsylvania. Lance was born in 1991. So by the time, Walter, you met him, he was quite an older dog, getting closer to the 10-year mark. About 7 years old or so, I guess, when you...
No, he was 10. He was 10 when I actually was formally introduced.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
And then you started, because you were a runner and ran by him a lot, that you started taking him for walks yourself. The owner didn't really seem to care. You only saw him once, got a creepy feeling because they were so creepy. How long... months or years did you walk the dog before you decided to actually make him yours?
Well, about 6 months. And okay. I would say that I didn't really make the decision. Decision was made for me.
Yeah. And so how did that happen?
Well, I went out to walk him one night, and I had gotten to this point where all I had to do was go like, or, and he'd come out of the doghouse and come charging up to see me. Uh-huh. So this one night, he didn't do that. And I kept calling, and I could see the lead was in the doghouse, so I knew he was there. And I said, there's something not quite right. So he slowly came out of it, slowly came up to me, and I could see he had this huge gash on his snout.
Uh-huh.
A gash that actually started above one eye and ended below that eye.
Wow.
So I didn't really know what to do. So he wanted, you know, he was a trooper. He was ready for a walk, and it didn't matter what kind of condition he was in. But instead, I walked him over to Anna's house, the woman that had
the neighbor that had been taking care of him.
And she took one look, and she just said to me in her terse way, "I'll handle this." So I walked back home, and then she called me, and she said she kind of read the riot act to the owners. She pretty much forced them to take him to the vet to get treated. So I gave it a week or two. I came back up to walk him, and as fate would have it, it was getting dark. I heard the owner, and I guess it was his one of his sons, kind of joking about nuking their dog.
Oh dear!
You know, they were administering some kind of medicine, I guess, that the vet had prescribed, and I guess it was in the eye or something. And you know, the dog yelped and all that. And it was the irony of treating a dog that you're joking about killing. It just kind of really hit home.
Yeah.
You know, so they joked and laughed all the way back in the house. I didn't really want to meet them. So I took them for a walk. And then that's when I started really kicking myself mentally on the way back home, because I said to myself, come on, think about it. A dog's outside for 10 years. I mean, don't you think things are going to happen to him besides being isolated? And it really never dawned on me that, you know, I don't know if that particular injury was man-made. But there's also animals around that area, like bears and stuff. So sure. I don't know what he got into a scrap with, but it was just suddenly I said to my wife, this dog is not going to die under my watch. Mm-hmm. It really hit home. You know, I don't know what we got to do, but I know if I go up there someday, the dog house is going to be gone. The run will be gone and I'll know the dog's gone. And I just, you know, couldn't stomach that, the thought of that. So that's when we started making a mad search. We couldn't have a dog in the apartment we were in. So we had to do this mad search for a house. And we pull up to this house in Canadensis. And I said to my wife, sold. And she said, how can you say that? You haven't seen the inside. I said, doesn't matter. It's on an acre and a half. It's on a cul-de-sac. It's surrounded by protected woodlands. It's perfect for Lance.
See, I told you their whole life. He changed his whole life for this dog.
But so, you know, it was sold. It turned out to be sold.
To you.
And, you know, I write in the book that, you know, if that's where the story, that isn't the end of the story, though. That's really the beginning.
The beginning. Yeah.
You know.
So you had to move heaven and earth, I think, you know, to actually get him. And I think the owners at some point agreed to let you take the dog or something. But then there was some reneging and all of that. And you kind of had to kind of just swipe him, didn't you?
Well, here's the thing. I don't know. Maybe I'm not the confrontational type. I never told the owners I was going to take their dog. We just went ahead. I just assumed. Why would you, you know, obviously you don't want the dog. So we bought a house. We moved in. I drove down to the owner's house. I said, hey, I have good news for you. I'm going to take your dog off your hands. And I met Mrs. Schmidt and she said, oh, we couldn't do that. I'm having brain surgery and Lance is going to be my therapy dog.
Oh my gosh.
So right. I have to tell you, she stopped me. I didn't know what to say. I'm usually not at a loss for words, but she left me lost for words. So I went home. I'm really ticked off. I'm sitting there. I called Anna, and in her usual terse way, she said, I'll take care of this.
So once again,
that's when I started I'll tell you what. I didn't steal them, but I would have. I can say that now, can I? Because
sure.
The statute of limitations is gone. I mean, I had all these plans, you know, and I'm thinking, what if he starts barking in the middle of the night when I'm, you know, she read them again, the riot act. And I think she was bluffing. She told him she was going to take the food in that doghouse away and call the authorities, you know, but we know how the bureaucracy works. So I don't know if she would have had the heart to do it, but they bought it. When she told me I could take the dog, I flew down there in my car because I knew how flaky they were. I didn't want them to change their mind.
Gotcha.
So
you technically, they had said that you could have the dog.
Yeah.
You just didn't waste any time and got him out of there right away.
Right. Because she had to twist their arm and they were the kind of people that, you know, I'm sure they could have changed their mind. Some neighbors put the dog house on a pickup, you know, and they drove it up to my place. Uh-huh. We put the dog house in the run in my backyard. So my wife said, you know, this dog's been outside for 10 years. I don't think I'm ready to try to housebreak him. So why don't we keep him outside for at least a couple of days? And then gradually, he wanted none of that. I hooked him up. I started walking to the house. He started howling like only a dog can howl. So, you know.
Like he was delighted to be able to get into the house.
He, you know, this is a dog been outside for 10 years, you know, and he wanted to get in the house. So we let him in. And that's when, and that's, as they say, is when the fun began.
Unbelievable story. Now, we'll tell some of those stories, but what I want people to know at this point is how severely affected Lance had been, the way he was treated with these people, because he'd lived in this backyard for 10 years. But at some point, I think it was you had him to the vet, but at some point the vets went over him and checked him out.
Yes.
Well, could you describe what they found out about Lance's physical condition?
Well, the first thing the vet said was, this animal is absolutely coated with scars. So, of course, you know, I had never donned the meat to, like, live, you know, a very thick coat. I never bothered checking it. And I remember the vet's words. He said, this is about the worst I've ever seen on an animal, at least one that's still living.
Wow. Yeah. Worst they'd ever seen. So scars all over his body.
Actually, some of the older scars were overlapped by newer ones.
And was there
broken
bones?
I'm getting choked
up
talking about it now. He had a fractured hind leg that apparently had never, you know, been treated. Because he asked me if he ever was ever hit by a car, and I said, "Well, no. He's been on a run for 10 years." So, you know, we don't know what happened there. And he also had ligament damage in the other hind leg, which, it's funny, the vet said it wasn't really suitable for repair for the strange combination of his older age and the fact that he was still so active, he wouldn't heal well. He had a chunk of his tongue missing.
Wow. Yeah, so there was all kinds of evidence that somehow this dog had been majorly physically abused. And the assumption is, and I think Anna may have been able to confirm some of this, but didn't these people, they really physically beat this dog? And we think that the majority of those scars and all of that were probably human inflicted. The broken bones, you know, and the ligament damage and all that sort of thing. This dog had been seriously abused as well as neglected. And you would think,
yeah, the vet surmised with the missing tongue that it was either a confrontation he had with a wild animal, frostbite, or torture.
Jeez. So, you know, you would think this dog being 10 years old, and then so Walter and Clara, you know, rescue him and take him in, you would think that they were just going to, you know, give him a home and love him for whatever time he had left. And, you know, I mean, the average lifespan would be around 12 years, you know, and thinking that he wouldn't be around that, but he was with you for 7 years. He lasted long time.
He did.
And I think that's a testament for how much the devotion and the love that you two had for him, I think kept him going strong and with you. And even though you think you didn't do a lot to help him or change him, you loved him and you were devoted to him. And I know it made a huge difference. So I'm looking at the clock here and it's the last hour of the show, so we need to stay on time. So let's take care of our advertisers and then we will come back and continue the story. Finally here, because Lance moving into the house, that's just the beginning. it's worth hanging around. The book is Lance, A Spirit Unbroken. Author Walter Stoffel is my guest, and we will continue with Lance's story straight ahead right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Here's a thought to consider from the Ananda Institute of Living Yoga. With the love and care you offer your pets, what about another important pet project, finding happiness? But how do you find happiness? Money? Health? Love? Or millions of people are finding that the regular practice of meditation or yoga can brighten your life with an inner satisfaction and contentment that no possession, position, or title can give. Find our schedule of classes and events at anandawashington.org. That's A-N-A-N-D-A Washington.org.
What do you want for your pet when it's not getting help for its troubles? Happiness for your pet and yourself. I'm Nels Rasmussen, spiritual healer. I've been helping pets and people to be happy again for over 40 years. You can learn more about me and my work at spiritualpetconnection.com. And you can have a free phone conversation with me by clicking the Contact Us button. Go to spiritualpetconnection.com now.
Hi, this is Martha Norwalk, host of Animal World, and I've got a question for you. Do you or anyone you know own a business, offer a service, or a product that does something good for animals, humans, or this planet? If the answer is yes, then I'd like to invite you to become a member of the Animal World family of advertisers. Lately, people are telling me they think radio advertising is exorbitantly expensive. Well, that can be true, but not on Animal World. Did you know that for as little as $45 a week, you can have two professionally written and produced commercials at no cost to you running on the show? You also get a link to your website on the homepage of the Animal World website and two live interviews on the show. Frankly, you can't afford not to do this. So if you'd like to join our great Animal World family of advertisers, or if you need more information, go to www.marthanorwalk.com to send me an email or call me at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258. Come on, give me a call and join the family. We'd love to have you.
Tell your friends about Alternative Talk 1150.
Hey, y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk, and we are chatting with Walter Stoffel, author of Lance, A Spirit Unbroken, and what a story this is. Let's get right back into our discussion, Walter. And we had talked about the fact that once you had Lance, you had the vet check him out so you could find out, you know, what physical condition he was in. And you heard everyone, what, you know, the vet said it was the worst case he'd ever seen of a dog that was still alive, and all the scars and the fractures and the ligament damage and all of that. I had forgotten. Walter just reminded me. Walter neglected to tell the vet that they had just rescued this dog. So the vet's got the dog and is, you know, discovering all these injuries. He thought you were responsible, Walter, right?
Yeah, it was.
So you almost got turned in for dog abuse again.
Oh, he was taking notes on the legal pad. I mean, it was really, you know, and I told. And the story that I told him, it even sounded far-fetched to me. Oh, yeah, he's been living outside for 10 years. You know, I walked him through. I mean, you know.
So the vet thought Walter was the nutcase.
My final defense was, doctor, do you think I would, if I was abusing a dog, I would bring him to a vet? I mean, you know, I'd be like turning my, you know. So he let it go. But to tell you the truth, I always felt like I was under a cloud of suspicion at that animal hospital. You know, yeah. From after that, I mean, that's what happened.
Yep. So life with Lance was challenging, to say the least. But on the other hand, then Walter's one of those just do it kind of guys, I think his wife Clara has got to be a saint. Because there's not a lot of forethought on the part of Walter and planning things out. And let's talk for a minute about Lance's behavior in the car. This is one of the things that drove me nuts when I'm reading this book. Because I think, Walter, why on earth didn't you do it? So talk about Lance and the car. And he almost got you guys arrested.
I was hoping, Martha, that you were going to gloss over. Because, well, all right. So the very first time, the time I took him to Mount Mincy before I ever rescued him,
yeah,
I let him loose. I walked him from the owner's house down to my car, which we lived like two blocks away. He hops into the car like he'd been doing it his entire life. So, okay, what's going to happen? I turn the car on. He's great. The minute I back the car up, the minute there's motion in the car, he goes nuts. I mean, nuts. As we're driving, He wants at everything outside the car, whether it's moving or not. He's barking at fire hydrants, telephone poles. He's in the back seat. He's in the front seat. He's in the back seat. He's in the front seat.
So he's not tethered or crazy.
No,
he's just loose in the car, and he's bouncing
loose
off the walls, front, back, all over, barking like a banshee at everything. And Walter's trying to drive on the highway.
He's got his, at one point he had his paws draped over my steering wheel, and I drove by a guy, and the guy's looking, and I'm thinking, I wonder if this guy thinks I'm trying to teach this dog how to drive, you know, because border collies are smart, right? So, I mean, so we got, I was relieved to get to the park just to get him out of the car. And, you know, he hops out of the car and he's back to normal as Lance can be on ground, you know?
Right.
The ride home was similar. Just insanity. So I didn't take him.
Well, was that the time you got pulled over, though?
No, that was after I rescued him.
Oh, okay.
I had this. I
because it was similar. You were taking him to some special place to run, but you had to drive him there.
I was taking him. I was taking him from Canadensis, trying to get to Mount Mincy, just for old time's sake, you know.
Okay.
You know, he was all over. I got pulled over by a cop because of my erratic, or I should say Lance's erratic driving, not mine. I got breathalyzed, you know, and then he asked me if I was on any kind of medication.
Yeah, because so with Lance bouncing all over the car, Walter's, of course, weaving all over the road. He drives by a cop that sees this, who pulls him over.
So he got this. He got this great idea. He said, look, he was going to impound the car, but he decided to cut me a break. Maybe he was a dog lover. I don't know. He got this idea of hooking him up to like the cargo hitches in the back of the SUV. Mm-hmm. We had him, you know, and I'm driving away and the cop's following me, though. I say, geez, I hope he's not going to. Lance can't get loose. He's stuck in the back seat. And I'm saying, hey, you know what? I should have thought of this a long time ago. Well, leave it to Lance. He broke the leash. He broke the leash. But by that time, the cop had pulled off. So we just had our typical crazy drive the rest of the way home, but without police escort. In my defense, I think I only put him in a car one more time, and I described that near when he's getting to be a senior citizen. But as
that
a senior citizen,
down.
He was just as crazy in the last drive as he was in the first.
Now, so this dog was absolutely, I mean, this dog really probably never had any training or didn't have any impulse control and, you know, had never really been worked with. But over and over again, there were a lot of these stories in the car and almost getting arrested and all that sort of stuff. But then think about living with Lance in your home. These dogs can be very challenging to live with, and they found that out about Lance. And Lance actually bit both you and Clara.
Yes.
More than once.
He bit he
or Clara, I think, more the, or maybe, but
she got the worst. She got the brunt of it. The very first night he moved in, he bit my wife. She came out in the middle of the night. And he had been sleeping in the living room and had moved to the kitchen unbeknownst to us. She stepped over him and she's got scars left to prove it. And right away, though, as a dog person, she started alibiing for him. Oh, I should have turned on the light. I should have done this. I should have done that.
And I could tell you incredible stories of all the people that I've worked with that have dogs with this imbalance that do this kind of stuff. And often they are owner-directed aggressors. You know, they do go after their owners. But I could tell you stories about it, you know, what people have put up with dogs and the excuses we make. And you guys fell right into that. Oh, it was my fault. I should have turned on the light. I shouldn't have stepped over him. Well, these dogs that have this imbalance that are so volatile, they're all individual and they're a little bit different to each story, but they have hot buttons that somehow flash them back or remind them of things that happened before. And if you're not aware usually of those hot buttons, but if you touch one of them, That's when you get the explosive flash aggression. So they're now living with a dog that they can't trust. And he's one of those ones that you might be able to pet him for a few seconds. It doesn't take very long before, boom, we're in that flash aggression and you get bit. So they're not comfortable touching the dog, moving around him, moving close to him. So half the time they can't even maneuver in their own house, right?
We had, my wife was absolutely became petrified of him. She kept her distance because he bit her once when she was feeding him, you know, from her hand. She gave him two hands to pick from, one with cheese, her other hand. He went for the hand. He wanted a hand sandwich, not a cheese sandwich. The very second day we had him in the house, he went for me. I was absentmindedly petting him. I happened out of the corner of my eye to see him whirl around. He got his teeth on me. I got my hand out, but I had the impression of his teeth and saliva. And my first, in denial, the first thing I wanted to be sure was that my wife didn't see that, because I knew he was already on thin ice. So I didn't report it, the incident. The next day, I'm going to work. He's on our bed. I go to pet him. He whirls around with as vicious a snarl as you can get. I got my hand out of there, and I'm driving to work saying, oh my God, what have we gotten ourselves into? This is, you know.
Well, so all of this is going down. He's bitten both of you right after he moves in with you.
Right in.
So you're not safe in your own house. You're terrified. Your wife is terrified of the dog, and you're close behind. What made you keep him? What made you continue? I mean, most people would have just put him down.
Well, besides giving him alibis, I think what we did is we adapted to Lance far more than he adapted to us. Mm-hmm. So my wife kept her distance. Now you might know better than me on this, Martha. I always felt safer with Lance when we were outside than when we were inside. Mm-hmm. I don't know what, you know, I think there was enough sensory stuff outside the house. He was in his element when we went on walks. That's all I can say. He just loved it. But I kept my distance. I think I have a chapter in there where I talk about the petting protocol, that there was certain.
Right. You had to learn how to. And that's
what. If you got a certain look, you know.
Yeah, and you can, these dogs, once you learn what this is all about, a lot of this behavior becomes predictable for that individual dog when you learn their specific buttons and all of that sort of stuff. And so then you can, that opens the door for all kinds of rehabilitation and so forth. But especially when you cannot diagnose or treat the imbalance. Which I had to work with these dogs for, you know, like 20, 30 years before we could ever diagnose and treat. It's more a matter of the human learning how to live with that individual dog than changing the dog. But I developed such great techniques for doing that we pulled this off and saved gazillions of dogs' lives. The next question I have is, I'm wondering, with all of this going down, all the abuse and all, and that, you know, he's totally out of control in the car. You can't confine him or lock him down in the car to save your soul. You're not comfortable in your own house. He's bitten both of you. Doesn't change. You didn't say much, at least that I recall in the book. Did you ever make an effort to contact a trainer or a behaviorist or something to work with him? Was there part of that?
I contacted, when I assumed I was going to rescue him, I contacted an obedience trainer. Mm-hmm. I walked him from his owner's house to behind my apartment. The trainer put a gentle leader on him.
Uh-huh, yes.
And he learned a few basic commands. She was impressed that a dog his age would pick up on, you know, sit, stay, pivot. He just learned. So, okay. So when we rescued him, I had this lady come to my house. And then I told her about, you know, he's lunging at me and this. She said, oh, I think you got to bump up your training. I'm going to recommend you to a local school farm, you know, obedience and herding farm. I went there. You know, of course, with high hopes. So I spoke with the owner of it. I told her what he was doing, this and that. And she said, based on what you're telling me, I can't let him in the school. So it was kind of like, you know, he wouldn't play well with others.
Right.
So, and it's funny because when I decided to write the book, I contacted her and I said, you know, I'll be glad to use your name and this and that. She totally denied that she had told me that. And I was right. You know, I guess it's bad for business. You know, she's just said, no, I never said I couldn't train him. I remember her exact, and she's got it on her website. Some dogs have their wires crossed and they can't be uncrossed. So I know he got rejected from admission. So then what it became, then we went through a period, we got to find somebody else that can take this dog because we just can't. And we contacted the Border Collie Rescue Association and they told us the odds are they would put him down. So to tell you the truth, Martha, the real bottom line why we kept them, I could not stomach the idea of rescuing a dog that I would then destroy.
And I understand that. And but your level of devotion is just goes so far beyond what most humans would be able to deal with. Because Lance truly was one of the worst cases that I've heard about. In some cases, not as bad as some of the situations I've seen. Because I think the one thing that's pretty consistent with Lance is that he just didn't fly at you and attack you and come after you. He always reacted to something the human did, stepping over him, touching him, petting him too long. Then you'd get the reaction bite. It's not always like that. Some of these dogs, Walter, literally fly in the face of their owners and to bite and attack.
Yeah.
So in that case, he was better than some, but I'm glad to know that you did, at least make an attempt. But I'm not surprised at what you ran into because the fact of the matter is that the vast majority of trainers, don't know how to deal with this. I see dogs all the time that have gone to the all positive dog training places out here in our area. And these dogs are viciously aggressive. Well, they've spent hundreds and hundreds of dollars for lots and lots of training, and we're a year down the line, and the dog's never even been allowed in the building because the trainers won't let the dogs in. It's kind of like, you're not training. Well, he can't come in because he's too aggressive. So there just is not the expertise out there or the experience to deal with these dogs, but they can be dealt with when you know what you're doing. So looking at the clock here, we need to take care of advertisers. Then the stories I want to go to, you know, can you imagine living with this dog, how volatilely aggressive he is, how unpredictable, what lack of control, no come when called, no, not an ability to get a hold of the dog right away. Well, what does Walter do? Well, Walter says he's been on a tether for 10 years. He needs freedom. So you got to hear some of these stories. He just lets this dog go in the middle of nowhere. And oh my God, he almost got them both killed. I mean, the stories are remarkable. So stay right where you are. We'll tell you some of that stuff when we get back. Animal World continues more with Walter Stoffel and Lance, A Spirit Unbroken, straight ahead, right here in Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Give your dog, cat, or ferret the gift of great health naturally. Make NuPro all-natural supplements an essential part of your pet's diet. NuPro makes an awesome gravy, sure to please. This gravy provides fresh nutrients for a beautiful, silky skin and coat, strong immune system, and healthy digestion, among other wonderful benefits. NuPro's joint support formula is perfect for working dogs, large breeds, and especially seniors. So go with NuPro, your pet's best friend for over 20 years. Visit online at NuProSupplements.com for more information.
Hi, this is Martha. Did you know that besides hosting Animal World, I'm also an animal behavior therapist and trainer with more than 40 years of professional experience? I work with you privately in your home or over the phone to help you understand your animal friends and resolve whatever behavior training or healing problems you've got going on. Most of my expertise is with cats and dogs, but I sometimes work with other types of animals as well. So whether it's puppies or kittens, adult dogs or cats, or elderly animal issues, I can help. Cats not using the litter box? Biting or scratching you or your furniture? Maybe they're fighting with each other or waking you up at night. I've got answers. Dogs barking too much, jumping, or dragging you around the block on your walk? Does he have separation anxiety or chew up stuff he shouldn't? I've got answers. Whatever's going on with your animal friends, I will help you fix it. I am more than reasonably priced and often need to see you only once. I always do a free, no-obligation telephone evaluation, so give me a call and bug my voicemail if you need immediate attention. You'll find me at Martha's Canine, Feline, and All Creature Counseling at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258, and I'd love to hear from you.
Would you like to access portals of possibilities for transformation, consciousness, expansion, and new experiences of health and well-being? Ancient knowledge and new science tell us that everything manifests from vibratory frequencies. Jude and Paul Ponton are experts in the field of vibrational alignment and harmonic shifting. They're also co-authors of Acutonics for Dogs and Cats and Acutonics from Galaxies to Cells, Planetary Science, Harmony, and Medicine. They can assist you in shifting frequencies for personal health, aligning and balancing your energy or the energy of your home, property, or workspace. Jude and Paul can work with you remotely, at their office, or on site if you live in the Seattle area. They also teach classes in the Acutonic Sound Healing System. Check out their website, whispering-dragon.com. That's whispering-dragon.com for descriptions of services. Or call 206-706-2836. That's 206-706-2836. You can even email them at resonate@whispering-dragon.com for information or to schedule sessions.
No other station delivers this much variety. Alternative Talk 1150.
Hey, y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk, and thanks for spending your Sunday morning with us here on Animal World. We're here till noon today and every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. My guest is Walter Stoffel, who was the devoted owner of Lance, a Spirit Unbroken, a wonderful border collie that spent the first 10 years of his life tethered and beaten and abused and neglected till Walter and his wife Clara took Lance in. And they had him another 7 years. And what a 7 years that was. But Walter, I talked about it, you know, before we went to the break, and you were in the habit of just, because again, it must have been that long distance runner in you, and you like to run and hike, but you would take Lance out and just let him go in the forest.
Yep.
And I mean, there are so many stories in the book that will absolutely, shock you, scare you, get you yelling at the book. No, don't do that, Walter. Because he and you almost got shot by people. I mean, there's one story where you went out later in the day in like winter time. Right. And this is what I'm thinking, Walter, what on earth are you thinking or not thinking? You aren't dressed properly. God. You don't even have your darn phone. You don't have anything. And you go out in the middle of nowhere and let this dog go. And of course he takes off and you have no idea where he is. And then you end up getting lost out in the middle of nowhere.
It's,
no, and you actually then you fell and ended up in a river and you almost froze to death.
You're leaving me at a loss for words for what I wrote. It was very cold, wintry day, high gusty winds, sunny. So we leave, you know, say 3 o'clock or so, it's still light out. A windbreaker. I don't know if I even had gloves, no hat, no phone. I figured, yeah, we'll be back, you know? So the minute I get in the woods, we had our own hiking trails. We made our, you know, they were in there, but we just used them. So I let them loose. So we're doing the thing we usually do, lengthy walks. It's starting to get dark and it's starting to get colder. So I don't know why I didn't turn back sooner, but I didn't. So now we're kind of in unexplored territory and now it's pitch black. Oh, no flashlight either, because I assumed I was going to be back long before that. And the temperature is dropping, the wind is picking up. At some point, I realized that I was lost, even though I had walked in most of the surrounding woods, and especially at night in the dark. So I don't know if you remember Blair Witch Project, where they get to this river, they walk 15 minutes later thinking they're going somewhere else, they come right back to that same river. I actually had that experience. I thought I was getting somewhere and I was getting nowhere.
And at some point fell into the river, you lost your glasses.
I lost my glasses, and I wound up, I fell on rocks, and Lance came over,
yourself too.
Lance came over and he actually was tugging on my jacket sleeve to kind of pull me up. And I was thinking, great, you know, he's not pulling on my arm. He's pulling on the jacket. That's very nice of him. So it really got to a point where I said to myself, you know what? I guess this is where I'm going to end my life. Yeah, because
obviously now, and just to speed up our story here, they survived, and actually Lance did try to save, you know, Walter and pull him out of the river, but they survived that just barely. But Lance did the weirdest things. And he would aggressively confront some, you know, people and things if he ran into them out in the woods and so forth. So there's all kinds of phenomenal stories you got to read in the book. But then there was a weird time where, you know, you would let him out in your yard, and you had fenced and secured the yard and then the gate lock and all that sort of stuff. And you had a policeman end up at your doorstep because Lance did something really strange, did he? Involving kids and a bus and all that sort of thing.
We got a fence. It cost us about $5,000 at the time, basically to keep the world away from Lance and Lance away from the world. The fence guy said, you know, make it an extra foot higher because he's a jumper. So we did. One day a cop knocks on my door, and, you know, I'm, you know, kind of living with Lance. You're always saying, what next, you know? So long story short, Lance had wound up on the school bus at the end of the road we live on.
Because it took a lot of detective work for you to figure it out. But you had a camera or watch or something, but you figured out, Lance had figured out how to open the gate and let himself out. And then he went to the local bus stop and interacted with all the kids, and at some point he got on the bus, but he didn't bite anybody, you know? Some of these dogs, there's no predicting, but he apparently was okay with the kids and he was on the bus and all of that. But the dog had such a reputation, it frightened everyone. And so they called the cops, and that's
He was on the block. He was known as the Terminator.
Yeah, the Terminator. Lance also, you know, he had a good heart. And, you know, when Walter fell in the river and was so bad, Lance tried to pull him out. Didn't he do something very touching with your wife? When she had a loss?
This was so out of the blue. Yes, it's so out of the blue. I mean, I'd never seen any dog do this, let alone a dog like Lance. We were getting ready. The very day we were going to the airport to go visit Clara's brother in Florida, she got a call from her sister-in-law that he had just hours ago died from a heart attack. Oh. So Clara just burst out in tears. She sat in my recliner. She was just sobbing. She was shuddering. So I'm on the phone, not really knowing what to say to Tony, her sister-in-law. You know, what do you say in a situation? Right. Lance shoots over, sits himself right in front of Clara, stares at her, and I'm thinking, oh my God, he's going to bite her at this time. He props his front legs, his front paws up on her legs, and he starts literally washing away her tears. And she just said, look at what this dog is doing.
Yeah, so.
It's just, you know, so uncharacteristic.
Yeah.
And then when he was done, he just lay down next to her, and he never did that. They always kept their distance. So, you know, if there was a highlight in that book, to me, that would be the highlight, because, I don't like to share that story with people that aren't familiar with Lance's demeanor, but I think we've talked enough about his problems so that him doing something like that, as I said at the end of that chapter, they weren't able to beat all the good dog out of Lance.
Right. He's really a wonderful dog, and he is and was a spirit unbroken to have survived as long as he did, and to make another 7 years to live with Walter and Clara. And then when push comes to shove, you see the true nature of this dog when Clara's heart is broken in a gazillion pieces and she's just in tremendous grief. What does he do? He comes and he comforts her. He washes her face. He lays down with her. And what I want y'all to take away from this is that you need to know with these dogs that do this flash kind of aggression stuff. I do want to explain all of that to you and then what we do about this. And we'll plan some more shows so that we can start sharing this information. But know that this is a hormonal chemical imbalance within these dogs. Okay. And when the right buttons get pushed, and that pushes them into the energy of this imbalance, the hormones, particularly the T3, it has to do with thyroid as well, deplete. And when the right buttons get pushed, Walter, the dogs can't help it. When this flash aggression, they can't control it. That's why you can't train through it. That's why you can't beat it out of them. It's uncontrollable. It's an involuntary response. And I think you saw with Lance that sometimes when he did flash, aggress on you and bite, what did he do after? He went and hid. He went away.
Oh, yes.
See, it's because they, when they come out of it, for them, it's like, OMG, what did I just do? And they don't like it any more than we do. But the thing that you all need to know is this isn't a conscious aggression. And they can't help it. But now that we understand it more and more all the time, and once you understand it, when you know the triggers, the hot buttons, then you can change the way they feel about those things and turn around the flash aggression. And it can be quite a remarkable process, but I think you and I need to go through all of this on the air and help people understand how do you address this kind of flash aggression and fear, because it's both. And in Lance's case, of course, I think was exasperated by the abuse that the first owners dealt him with. But I want everybody to know the dog, they can't control themselves. They have no control over this flash aggression. It happens, and they most of the time feel bad afterwards. Some breeds are much more volatile than others, and how it manifests can be very breed specific sometimes. Just an example of that. I mean, Lhasa Apso's that tend to have it, they flash bite and they go straight for the face, bite right in the face. Cocker Spaniels are ones that will fire up and attack their owners and go after and keep attacking. Now I see very little of that anymore, because there's so much that we can do for these dogs now that it doesn't have to get that out of control. But I'm very grateful for you, Walter, that first of all, to meet someone with such an incredible heart and such devotion and love that you had for this dog, and your commitment that you couldn't bear to take an abused dog and then kill that dog. So you structured, you bought a house for him. You structured your whole life around him. I hope you give yourself credit for being the incredible human beings that you, and God bless Clara for putting up not only with Lance, but with you.
I've heard that many a time. I've heard that many a time.
All right, we are about out of time. So until we do this again, is there anything else you would own? And how can our listeners get a hold of the book?
Well, I probably the best way would be, they can go to the Behemoth, of course, Amazon, or they could go to my website, walterstoffelauthor.com. And there you have choices as to from where you're going to purchase the book. Purchase it directly from me, I will dedicate the book and I'll give them one of Lance's custom bookmarks. But that's, I would say outside of the U.S., it's kind of cost inefficient to buy it from me.
Okay, the book is Lance, A Spirit Unbroken, Walter Stoffel, Stoffel. You can, Amazon.com, you can order the book. You can go to Walter's website, and that's WalterStoffelAuthor.com.
Author.com, yes.
Walter Stoffel, and it's Stoffel, WalterStoffelAuthor.com. And you can order through there and even get an autographed copy from you. Is that what you said?
I'll dedicate it to anybody they want me to. Dogs, people, both.
Wonderful. Wonderful. So spread the word, everybody. Get a copy of Lance, A Spirit Unbroken. Read about this incredible story and this dog. And know that if it rings any bells for you, dogs that you had, people you know, and experiences you're having with dogs, if you need help, there is help today. And we will explore that more on the air. Walter, I want to thank you for taking the time to spend part of your Sunday with us here on Animal World. I hope the weather calms down, stays good for you, and all of that. And we'll be in touch and schedule another show as soon as we can, okay?
Okay. Thank you very much, Martha.
And blessings to you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
All right, Nathan, thank you so much for keeping us on the air today. And please, everybody, enjoy the cool weather and let's hope for some rain. And as always, I leave you with animals have feelings too. So treat your animal friends better than family. And please always be kind to open your hearts. And share your love with all living things. And we'll talk to you again next week.